Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm not an opening statement guy, so just feels good. You know, it's like the start of the new year. Happy New Year. That's where it feels. You know, it's like that that first day of school, family reunion, homecoming. I know those that most people think January 1st, the start of the new year. Those that espouse to Christianity, Catholicism, correlated with the birth of Christ. But us in football, today, April 2nd, start of the new year.
I may need to bone up on my Catholicism.
I
and
definitely do, so don't
possible.
Come here. Yeah,
I am Go dead ahead. Wrong.
Right.
In my 12 years of mandatory Catholic education,
yeah.
I do not recall a single classroom session during which we were told December 25 is somehow day one of the Catholic year. Now, I do vaguely recall from the little booklets that you get when you go to church, they would have like the 10th Sunday in ordinary time. I don't know what ordinary time is. I might have at one point. But this whole idea that December 25 is somehow the start of the year for Catholics, he may be a little too enthusiastic. He's attacking the day, as we know, with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. It's the first day of off-season workouts for Jim Harbaugh's second act in the NFL. And he's true to form. That deliberate plotting I'm reading from a teleprompter may be projected onto the inside of his glasses. Maybe he's got one of those fancy new wave glasses, high tech, where he can see it there so he doesn't have to look around at the invisible teleprompter. But anyway, it's good to see him back in the NFL. The Chargers are going to be good. They're going to be good.
They will be
better
right.
than they were. He will be good for 5.5 to 6 wins, just his presence for that team this year.
I don't disagree with that, right? I mean, they're making major changes, and you know he's going to do that and put a culture and a mindset there that they haven't had in a while, that's for sure, right? I mean, I don't know. The Catholicism thing, yeah, don't ask me. I didn't pay attention all that much in CCD class, and I didn't go to, like, a Catholic school or anything. Like, there's the 12 days of Christmas, right? And, like, really, December 25th is early on in that process. Am I wrong about that, right? Isn't it go
– December 25 is the first day of Christmas.
Right.
Yes.
So maybe that's what he was trying to say, January 1st after the 12 days of Christmas. I don't know what the hell he was trying to say there. Either way, it's the start of his new life and his new year yesterday in Los Angeles. Other thing is, are you a fan – are you? I don't think you are because I've never seen you do it. But like when you see other people do it, are you a fan of the T-shirt underneath the collared shirt? Right, you know that look that he had there, where he had the white Chargers collared shirt on, top button down, but then the gray T-shirt underneath it. Right, there's some people that, you know, a lot of times wear a white T-shirt underneath their collared shirt or whatever else and sport that look consistently. I'm not a fan of that look. I tried it out, you know, in younger years and whatever. I don't love it. What say you, Florio?
Well, first of all, for all we know, you're wearing one under your collared shirt. There would just be no way of us to see it.
Well, yes, because okay, maybe,
you buttoned
but I'm
all
not.
The top.
If, right, but
if
I'm not.
Coach Harbaugh right. had buttoned his all the way to the top, we wouldn't know. I don't like the T-shirt under the polo shirt.
Yeah.
I don't like that
yeah.
look. Now, I think there was a time, I don't know, 20 years ago, where that was kind of a thing. I will go T-shirt under a hoodie. I will go T-shirt
sure,
under,
sure.
you know, certain other things.
Collared
but,
shirts
but
are
not,
different.
Not the polo shirt.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Well, right. and to me, it, I don't think a collared shirt, because there's a bunch of different collared shirts. That to me is the standard run-of-the-mill polo shirt.
Right.
And to me, a polo shirt is one step above a T-shirt. Like today, I wore this today because I knew it was going to be warm up here because it's been warm in West Virginia the past couple of days.
Wow, lucky
and
you.
And it was first day to turn on the air conditioning up here because yesterday it was right on that line of toasty. So I knew I needed to wear something a little more, you know, conducive to a warm day. So
yeah.
it is warm up here.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a little nicer than a T-shirt. So you don't need a T-shirt under your shirt that's just a little nicer than a T-shirt. That would be my view.
No, yeah, you see some people even with my type of shirt, right? They might have, they have the top button on button, but you'll see them wear a T-shirt underneath it that shows. And it's like a look, right? It was never my look. Damn, you're having nice warm weather. I mean, we're in the middle of the world ending again up here. I'm halfway through my arc. I've gotten a few animals on so far. I put out a call with the horn, the animal horn today, to see if any other animals want to get on the arc with me because, it's just a monsoon here. Four out of five days of the work week every week. I mean, it's just unreal, Mike. It rained all day yesterday. It is raining and coming down at a rate that is incredible right now. I mean, the area is so saturated here, lakes, rivers everywhere. I mean, it's crazy. I'm so sick of the rain. I never thought I'd say it, but I'm at my wit's end with it.
You continue to make a compelling case for me to move up there. You're doing a very good
yeah,
job
right,
on behalf
right,
of the
right.
the
yeah.
Chamber of Commerce in the greater Greenwich, New York, Connecticut area. It hasn't been great weather here. It rained all day yesterday. There have been thunderstorms periodically, but it's been warm. It was in the high 60s, low 70s yesterday.
Wow.
Same thing the day before. But time for your weather on the ones. It is going to drop down to 31 overnight Friday into Saturday, high of 44 on Friday. So it is going to cool off here considerably over the next few days. And a lot of rain. It's April showers, right, baby? We're in April. It's supposed to rain in April.
Yeah,
April
bring
showers.
May flowers.
That was one of the first stupid sayings I ever learned. I remember my mom telling me that, and it was like, ooh, that's pretty good. That
well,
rhymes.
Well, it's climate change time, and the world's upside down. And the Northeast, in all seriousness, is from what I've read, is going through the most drastic changes in the whole world with climate change. But, you know, April showers brings May flowers. That doesn't happen anymore. This year we're having March flowers brought April showers because we had flowers in March, which is unheard of in the Northeast as well. Just to tell you how weird and backwards things are, because we didn't have a winter up here. We just had 8 or 12 weeks of spring. We had 12 weeks of the first 2 weeks of spring, basically. So everything's out of whack. So that's bothering me. All right. What other thing on the random earth? You want to comment on that?
I do want to comment. Since you brought up climate change, I just want to make sure that you're aware that yesterday I took out my gas-powered, highest-octane possible Audi and drove it all over the place.
That's great. Be ignorant. Just throw stuff in the air and just who cares. That's right. That's what you do. We'll start off at Jim Harbaugh talking about God. Florio doesn't care about God's green earth. Okay, good. We tied it all together. There we go. What about...
How is my car affecting anything? I didn't.
I know you did. I know you did.
I did drive it like.
Right.
I drove it like a mile to pick up dinner.
Right.
That's my house arrest itinerary for Tuesday. Left the house for 10 minutes, went to pick up dinner, and was back before my ankle monitor, started to beep too
good.
Loudly.
They needed you
so,
back in there. Yeah. Good. Get
and let me tell you, I was tempted. There was a nice stretch coming back, nobody was around. And I thought of our conversation yesterday. It's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to punch it.
Okay.
As much as I like that feeling
right.
of punching it down and letting the gaskets open up a little bit, letting it breathe a little bit, I resisted because The road was wet, unsafe conditions, open, no one around, but I wasn't interested in, you know, it was a two-lane road with trees and stuff. You never know when a deer is going to jump out. I was not irresponsible. I was responsible.
Way to go.
I drove responsibly.
Good job.
Even though I wanted to.
Way to go.
I really wanted to punch it.
All right, last thing.
The devil on the left shoulder almost won.
Well, yeah, I hear that. I mean, he's always sitting on my shoulder when there's an open stretch, so I'm with you there. What about the eclipse, right? We got that coming up this weekend. That's another one I keep seeing everywhere, but I'm not exactly sure when it is, right? Are you going
to? Monday.
It's Monday. That's what
go out and look up at it. Go out and look up at it.
I was going to give you the same advice. I was going to tell you, make sure you keep your eyes wide open and do that.
Well, I did. Haven't we seen someone do that? Wasn't the last time there was an eclipse and they were saying, don't look up at it? Wasn't there somebody in a fairly high position of government who looked like right
up at
it?
I do think, right? Trump gave it the old, like, I can see through these rays. He did it, right?
I don't know who that is.
I'm excited to see it, though.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's the 8th. And apparently, on the track of the eclipse,
yeah,
the hotels, it's like Super Bowl effect where they're charging more for the hotels for this eclipse weekend.
Yes.
Well, so,
yeah,
a lot of travelers coming to places they wouldn't ordinarily come to just so they can see the sun. They're assuming the sun will even be in the sky those days.
Cloudy day,
could
be in
trouble.
Right. Well, so here, this is what rich people are doing to figure it out, because this is a thing up here when you read about it a little bit. You know, we got all our Wall Street millions and billionaires, and the thing that's apparently like a fad right now leading up to this eclipse, and this is kind of one of the reasons it got me on it, was – you know, they're renting out private planes just to go above the clouds to see the eclipse, right? Or private planes are selling seats for $4,000 a seat. Come up above the clouds, you're guaranteed to see the eclipse, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty expensive and a lot of work just to see that. I don't know if I'm willing to go that length, but I'll definitely check it out.
Can't hide money.
No, you can't hide money. Not around here.
That's the Can't Hide Money Express. Hey, would it be wrong for me to say I don't care about the eclipse?
No, I don't think so.
I'm amazed that people are like flocking to areas in the path of it so they get the full effect. Like, I don't care. And I'm not going to judge anybody who does care. If you want to care about it, that's fine. I choose to not care about it. Like, really, what's the big deal? I get it. I've seen one before. I remember when I was a kid, an eclipse was coming, and they were acting like it was a big deal, and everybody was freaked out about it. And I went out, and you had to, like, look through it with some, I don't know, there was some weird contraption to look at it. It's like, this is a lot of work for something that really does not affect my life. Like, why are you all worried about this? So at a very young age, I was programmed. That's part of the contrarian streak.
No, not you. Like no, eclipse. No, I never
everybody
would have thought
said,
that. Yeah.
Everybody's like, well, why do we have to be sheep? You got to like the eclipse. Why do I have to like the eclipse? Well, you got to like the eclipse. Why don't you like the eclipse? Well, screw the eclipse and screw you too. I may have been 5 when I said that.
Yeah, I don't know. You might have been 55. We're not sure. It's probably the same.
Well, it's a continuous thread. And there is a certain contrarian streak that inspired the citizens of Jackson County, Missouri yesterday.
Oh.
Now, the polling suggested it was going to be close. And here we go again, learning that polling is always wrong. Why do they even bother to take polls? Haven't we learned time and again what a scam that is? I'm a pollster. Is that
the
word? I'm a pollster.
I believe it's a pollster.
I do polls.
Right.
I'm a pollster. I do polls. And they're never right, but I keep doing polls. Sorry, what am I supposed to tell you? The polls don't lie. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You may be giving us the accurate numbers that you're gathering. And I always wondered about that. Like, how can they take this extremely small sample size of any community and extrapolate that into anything? It just shows you how wrong it is, because the polls were neck and neck,
right?
Yes or no, for this measure that would extend a sales tax, pre-existing sales tax in Jackson County, to buy a new stadium for the Kansas City Royals and fund renovations of Arrowhead Stadium. The final tally was 58-42 or 59-41. You know, the Chiefs never suffer a blowout loss at home. They did on Tuesday. They got blown the F out on this one. And they brought out their big guns.
Yeah, they
did. Mahomes and Kelce and Reed. And they're making threats about possibly moving. And I don't think that helped them. Because the national mood has been for a long time now, pay for your own damn stadium. You're not going to win a public vote. The only way you're going to get public money for one of these stadium projects is to work the levers of government through the already elected politicians who are willing to use their political capital to be the ones who keep the team around and out of fear of being the ones who get blamed for the team leaving. In that context, I think the people who, when they're up for election again, don't want to have that on them. But you're never going to win an election that is solely up or down, yes or no, taxpayer money or no taxpayer money for a stadium project. The vast majority, as we see in Jackson County, Missouri, where the Chiefs have won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, that's not even enough. It's never going to happen. Don't even try to have a public vote in any city, even Pittsburgh, where they're crazy about football. It probably would lose. The attitude would be pay for your own damn stadium. See, I think there's a segment that doesn't care. They're never going to vote yes.
Right.
The segment of the population that doesn't care about sports is always going to vote no. And of those that do, there's a segment of those who say, I love the team, but pay for your own damn stadium.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand that. I know we talked about this yesterday. I certainly thought it would be closer, right? You know I made an argument there is value to, you know, these teams in the city, and I get that. I don't have the exact numbers, and I know that. But at a base level, hey, I know one thing. Our country's sick of, like, the rich doing whatever they want and doing it whenever they want and just having everything.
Oh, except for one person.
Well, okay.
Except for one person can do it. One rich person who we think is rich. We're not entirely sure anymore. But he sold himself as rich. He can do whatever he wants. All the other rich people can't.
All right, counselor, stay on football here, okay? Stay down. Stay. Keep it straight, all right, slugger?
Let's
go. I
didn't say who it was.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
So, but yeah, I think, you know, to your point and everything, I think we might be at a time here where it's just like, no, the public has said forget about it. I certainly didn't expect this type of number. Like you said, I was kind of shocking when I saw that. I thought we were going to see something like 52-48, 51-49. Like, it was a close one. The people have spoke on this. And then, so, Mike, where does it go, right? That's what I want to know or ask you is, does this – can they vote on it again somehow, some way? Can they table it and figure out a way to restructure language to maybe make the people like it more, whatever? Right? Or is it just a loss for the Kansas City Chiefs and now they go, okay, we got to figure out another plan, or we got to start using our own money or take out a mortgage or whatever else?
Well, generally speaking, I'm not going to pursue any strategy that would entail going back to the ballot box. When I've had my hat handed to me and my tail between my legs, 41-42% of the people are in favor of this. I don't want to try that again.
Yeah.
I also would want to separate from the Royals. I don't know why they were bundled up with the Royals anyway. They're just looking for $500 million for the Chiefs renovation at Arrowhead, and Clark Hunt is going to contribute $300 million of the $500 million for an $800 million project, and we know it's always more expensive than the numbers initially, but still, that's the initial number. $300 private contribution, $800 million total overhaul of Arrowhead Stadium, the third oldest stadium in the NFL. Maybe some of the no votes came from, why the hell are we renovating this old stadium? The only thing about it that is still enduring is that it looks good overhead. It looks neat. It has that kind of throwback feel to
yes,
it, but
it
looks kind of weirdly modern. Like they had a vision of what would look good in the future, and they almost nailed it when they built this thing. That shouldn't be enough. It should be... If we're going to spend $800 million to make this old place better, like, how much more would it take to just build a new place somewhere else in the general vicinity? They need to figure out a way to get the money, to try to get the money through the elected officials who are in a position to divert it to them legally, properly. I mean, that's what happened in Minnesota. They figured out a way, because I remember there was a controversy there back in 2011. Once the folks up there realized the Vikings were going to move if they didn't get a new stadium, Art Rooney, who was on the stadium committee at the time, went up there and spoke to the legislature and told them, look, this isn't just some fun and games thing. If they don't get this, they're moving. That activated this process, and there were people, I think there was litigation over this. Should it go to a public vote? Is there a way to get that money without the public speaking on it in the ballot box? That would be, I think, the first strategy. But you know what, Chris? I got a feeling there isn't, or they wouldn't have gone to the ballot box in the first place.
Yeah.
Why would you do this when there's another way to do it that has proven to be more effective? Work the politicians currently in office to get the money that way. Don't go to the ballot box over it. So get away from the Royals would be the first thing I would try to do. Explore any and all possibilities to work with local politicians without having to go to the ballot box to get this stadium project going. And if it doesn't work by way of renovation, what other communities in the Kansas City area? So you can still call it the Kansas City Chiefs, even though, you know, they play in New Jersey.
Right.
That would be the thing that I would try to do, and I would scrap the plan to renovate Arrowhead and start looking for free money from some community in the area that would build a new stadium. And then the question becomes, do you put a dome on it? That's what they want to do in Chicago. You know why? Because when you make an all-weather facility, you can make more money off of it.
Host a Super Bowl,
the
concerts,
have more events
all
there.
That.
Final
right.
Four,
right. Yeah.
All that stuff. You can have all sorts of things there. You'll get a Super Bowl as a quid pro quo, maybe. Some places don't because they don't have the hotel space. Maybe. I don't know enough about Kansas City to know whether or not they could absorb all those thousands of people who show up for a Super Bowl. But yeah, you can get a Super Bowl, Final Four, concerts. You could use it on the 350 days of the year that it's not being used for a football stadium.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know that's what every owner wants, right? Now, I mean, do you want to do that? I don't know. That's again, goes into conversations that I've heard about my whole life, whether it's through my dad and Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick. Hey, you know, one of the reasons Kansas City's been to the Super Bowl four of the last 5 years is it's tough to go play up there in the elements. Ask the Miami Dolphins. They would love Kansas City to put a dome in Kansas City. The Dolphins would be like, sure, please. Thank you. Well, now we're not scared about coming up there in January. So that's the football reason why real football X's and O's people don't want to do it. That was part of the reason I know the Giants, the NFL wanted the Giants to put a dome on the stadium up here, you know, MetLife. But I know the Mara family and the Giants were pretty adamant on, no, we want people to come up here and play in the elements late, you know, in January, December, do that, right? So there is that aspect. But, no, I mean, the reality is, Mike, is what you're talking about. That's what cities, owners want, more chances to host events. You know, Kansas City, the Arrowhead Stadium, as we know it, or Giha, however you say that, excuse me, right? It needs something. I mean, you know, like you said, it's cool. We know there's history there. There's more history now. It wasn't all that cool before Patrick Mahomes got there. It was kind of just like, this is old, right? It wasn't that much history. But it definitely needs an update as far as what we're talking about in modern stadiums and what's expected there as far as, you know, all the, you know, the luxury suites are not up to date, all the clubs that people can pay to get into, and, hey, I can hang here and watch the game. Family areas, I know that's an issue there too. I mean, all of that's an issue to where I understand them wanting that. But, I mean, like you said, it seems like the people spoke. Whether they want to build a new stadium or not, I don't think the people want to be a part of it in any, you know, shape, way, or form. So why with the way and, like, okay, we're at the greatest wealth disparity. We're back to the Rockefellers and the Carnegies here right now in the world, right, where the rich is richer than ever and the poor is getting poorer than ever. The gap is as big as it's ever been before. The NFL is pumping out money, and it's got so much money it doesn't know what to do with. My thing when I think about these things all the time, Mike, is why can't the NFL come up with a fund or figure it out as a whole, the Shield, the 32, to where they can figure out to get this done with the particular owners and stop burdening the cities and the public and people who are like, wait, I make $12 an hour, you know, shopping, you know, working on tables and stuff, right? I don't want to pay taxes for, you know, Mr. Hunt to get an extra $100 million in his pocketbook next year. So that to me would be the thing that, you know, I'd like to see the NFL do at some point.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So,
No, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Well, they do it because they can.
Yeah,
they do it because it works in some communities.
Right.
The Raiders got $750 million in free money to move to Las Vegas toward that great stadium that just hosted the Super Bowl. So there
not all
are
cities
places
are Vegas.
That
yeah, right.
will do it.
Right.
Right. Not yeah. all cities are going to do it, but most cities do contribute something to the stadium project, and that mood has been changing. And I think it has changed. It hasn't changed back. This isn't a pendulum that's going to swing. The public mood is going to continue to be pay for your own stadium, because as we see the numbers go up and up for the National Football League, as they continue this obsession that the commissioner has to get to $25 billion in annual revenue by the year 2027, more and more people are going to say, pay for your own damn stadiums. And what's the counter to that? We don't want to. We'd rather have free money. And then you hear the arguments of all the value that the team brings to the community, et cetera, et cetera. And you talked about not seeing the studies. You can come up with whatever study you want to support whatever position you want. You can take numbers and twist them and torture them into supporting your view about all the money it brings into the community and all the great things. It's 10 days out of the year. Okay, it's not some massive economic impact. And there is an economic impact of having jobs available, but I thought we couldn't find people to do jobs. I thought that people don't want to do jobs that require hard work and go build a stadium unless they're getting paid a hell of a lot of money. There's a lot of different layers that go into it. And, you know, I think the burden ultimately should fall on, within a given community, the team and the people who will be patronizing that venue. And that gets into this whole issue of PSLs, and they've got a controversy in Buffalo now because fans are finding out one at a time
the old PCL
how expensive
trick.
The,
right.
the PSL.
PSL,
P,
sorry. P,
PSL.
Yeah. sorry.
Yeah. But it's a ridiculous concept.
Yes.
I mean, think about that.
I remember
we're going to charge you an extra amount of money to have the ability,
the right
to sit
then,
in the seat.
Right, right, yeah.
The ticket gives you the seat, but the PSL allows you to put your ass in it. And it works. It works. But you know what? And see, that's where some of these teams are coming up with the private contribution. You know, Clark Hunt going to have a $300 million private contribution. That doesn't mean he's dipping into the Clark Hunt piggy bank necessarily.
Right.
Maybe they're going to have PSLs at the renovated Arrowhead Stadium. So you're going to get it both ways, taxpayer money and a tax on the fans who actually show up for the games. And this is all happening at a time, Chris, where the NFL is realizing the fans in the stadium don't add to the bottom line the way the fans at home do. That's why they went to Thursday night flexing last year. The message was, we don't care about the fans at the venues. We care about the fans at home. We want to maximize the millions of people who are watching the games. We want the best games possible in windows where the most people will watch, because that's where our huge money is. Our huge money is not coming from operating a stadium and playing a game there. Our money's coming from the networks that pay for the privilege of televising the game. And that should change the way the teams view everything about stadiums. I've said this before. There are owners who wonder whether it makes sense to have an upper deck on their stadiums. That the extra profit they make when you consider the expense and the revenue of the cheapest seats at the top of the stadium and all the extra security that goes along with it and ticket takers and parking, does it make sense to just build a 40,000-seat stadium, fill that up every week, looks great on TV because it's full, there aren't empty seats, still looks like a big deal, but we have half the attendance, we make just as much money or almost as much profit, and we have a lot less headache. So that's something the Chiefs need to factor into this as well. If you build a new stadium, does it have to be an 80,000-seat monstrosity, or can you do something smaller and charge more money and make the same margin?
Yeah, they are. That's what all stadiums are doing for the most part, right? And they're not as big as when we were growing up or when, you know, my father was playing. They've downsized across the board because I think, you know, to your point, they've found out the right way to do that. You know, they can increase prices for this, ooh, belong to this club, whatever. Of course, you know, then they have the PSLs, the luxury suites, all of that to where it's people with, you know, endless money that don't even blink an eye at it. And they just go, well, let's cater to them. They don't even blink an eye when they spend money. Let's keep doing that. That's the way it's been. I'm sure there are some stadiums and owners that like, you know, what you're talking about. Now, you know, again, I think some of like the Cowboys, hey, that upper deck there, there's a lot of people there and they're selling a lot of damn parking tickets and beers and everything like that. I'd have a hard time thinking Jerry and teams like that aren't making money on the upper deck, right? But to your point, this is where we are. And I don't know where, you know, this is all going to go with, you know, the stadium aspect and all this. It's I'm going to be really kind of intrigued with Kansas City here in the next process, where it goes there. But yeah, it doesn't seem right to always burden the fans like we talked about. And that's where the NFL has got to figure this out.
And the fans are speaking. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever we think doesn't matter. If these things get put on a ballot, the fans in most cities are going to say, not just barely, they're going to say overwhelmingly, build your own damn stadium. Mayor Quentin Lucas of Kansas City said the people of Kansas City and Jackson County love the Chiefs and the Royals. Today, they rejected plans and processes they found inadequate. Over the months ahead, I look forward to working with the Chiefs and Royals to build a stronger, more open, and collaborative process that will ensure the teams, their events, and investments remain in Kansas City for generations to come. Contrast that with Mark Donovan, Chiefs president. Here's his comment. Now, he had said, if we don't win this, all options are on the table, and one of those options would have to be leaving Kansas City. He said, we respect the process. We respect the decision of the Jackson County voters. We're disappointed. We feel we put forth the best offer for Jackson County. We were ready to extend the longstanding partnership that the teams have enjoyed with this county. This is important. We will do and look to do what is in the best interest of our fans and our organization as we move forward. Let me tell you something. That last part, they don't care about the fans. They care about the organization. Folks, football is business. They say football is family because it's good for business to say football is family. It is a business. And for the same reason that the players are pawns in the presentation of the game, the fans are pawns in the consumption of the game because they will leave you if they think it's better for business to go somewhere else. Stan Kroenke was hell-bent on leaving St. Louis, even though they were doing everything they could to try to cater to his desire for a new stadium there, because he knew when he crunched the numbers, I'll spend my $6 billion, I'll have this great complex, and I'll make it all back and then some, because it's in L.A. with a huge population base, plenty of money, plenty of rich people willing to just plunk down whatever it costs to sit in the luxury suite, and we're going to do that. Even though St. Louis is doing everything it can to try to keep us, to the extent where they lied, cheated, and stole, as that $800 million settlement or thereabouts would indicate, to get out of St. Louis, to work their relocation policy to let Stan Kroenke do what he wanted to do because he was making a business decision. He didn't care about the fans in St. Louis. The fans you care about when it's time to open your doors and have them open their wallets. But if there's wallets that are going to open wider somewhere else, they're going to go there. That's how it works. If I got to pay for my own stadium, I'm going to pick where I'm going to build it. That may be Clark Hunt's reaction going forward. And remember, they came from Dallas. Clark Hunt still lives in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
I think he still does.
He does, yes.
And you know what? I know the mayor of Dallas has argued in the past they should have a second team
there. Yeah, I remember that, right.
And I don't know how Jerry Jones would feel about that
well,
as
you
the
know,
landlord
you know
of the stadium.
You know how he'd feel about it. I mean, you know that.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't like anyone infringing on the Cowboys' turf.
Definitely not the Chiefs right now in Mahomes. That's that.
But,
you know,
but let me tell you something.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys' turf is the whole freaking country. That even with the Chiefs having a new dynasty and no indication that they're going to stop anytime soon, the Cowboys still draw more eyeballs when they play on national TV. I think that's part of what we're going to see. Like this plan to build a new stadium in Chicago. I think at some point you entertain the possibility of a team moving to Chicago and sharing that market with
and
the
have,
Bears.
Like
they already
two
have two
stadiums.
Baseball teams
yeah,
there.
Yeah, sure. Just be
already,
New
no,
York.
One stadium.
Yeah, I hear you. Like
one
New York.
Stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The economies of scale, I think, is the name of the term. You get the, and I'm probably wrong, but you get that big stadium and you use it for 20 games instead of 10, like they do in LA, like they do in New Jersey, like they could do in Chicago. And maybe, who knows? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the Chiefs would explore going to Dallas. I still think the Raiders and the 49ers should have just shared space in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
and the
sure.
Raiders wouldn't have had to move to Las Vegas.
I hear you.
And the Chiefs could have moved to Las Vegas.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. I mean, listen, they say everything's on the table. We'll see. I mean, again, the Kroenke thing you bring up, I do think is like a special situation of, you know, had some roots and wanted to be there, and it's L.A., and I got this spot, and it just everything was aligned the right way. Right, where
he was born in Missouri.
I know, but I think
roots. He was born in Missouri.
But I think there was, you know, house out there. Family had been living out there a little bit. That's what I meant. I know. I didn't
house
mean like
everywhere.
Born in roots. Well,
Stan
yes.
Kroenke has house everywhere.
Right.
Stan Kroenke probably has a house down the road. He's probably got houses everywhere. But I'm sorry to keep interrupting.
No,
but I hear what you're saying. But it's still a business.
I know. I'm just saying
it was a business
proposition,
and they lied to everybody in St. Louis to make it happen.
I'm just saying with that
they lied.
LA had its own, you know, no team at all. It was all perfect. I was just going to bring up kind of what you were saying there. Where is that city or that team that or that city that the Chiefs can put the pressure on Kansas City with? That's what they're going to need to get done what they want to get done. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, like you always talk about, deadlines get deals done, right? Well, you know, the if they're really that serious about it, they got to find somebody else. And yeah, there's no glaring option that pops out. The Chicago second, it's a second team in a city type of thing that pops out more than anything, right? That to me would be the move to make. But that's a bold move, and I wonder too, with even in that, like. You know, would the NFL want that? Would the NFL let them go to Chicago? Would the NFL want them to be in Dallas? That'd be interesting to know their thoughts on that type of conversation as well.
Well, and again, the money's coming from TV. It doesn't matter where you play the games. You can reconfigure these teams into smaller stadiums, two in the same city. There's two NFL-ready stadiums in London, for crying out loud. I can't imagine the Chiefs going to London, but there are two NFL ready stadiums in London. If somebody gets that idea, you don't have to build anything. You just go
that'd
play it. Now
awesome.
You don't own it either.
That'd be kind of awesome,
but,
though.
But
they wear red.
But,
I mean, it just works good. It just seems right.
Please direct all emails, Chiefs fans, to Chris Sims and tweets, please. Jacksonville's trying to get a stadium deal done. They're working it through the channels without a public vote. I guarantee you if they did a public vote in Jacksonville, the answer would be no.
Right.
Yesterday, the most successful team currently in the NFL can't get more than 41% of the vote. There's no way any other team is going to pull it off. Now, for Jacksonville, if they don't get what they want, everybody knows they're going to move to London. That's a given. And the Jaguars fans get mad at me, just like the St. Louis fans used to get mad at me when I used to say, they're moving. The handwriting's on the wall. They're moving. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, fine. And then they moved. So, yeah, where is that place? Is there a place right now that can muster the kind of money to lure the Chiefs to that place and offer them the kind of sweetheart deal where they get this, they get that, they get this, they get that, and you don't have to pay it, and the taxpayer money's going to pay it? And I don't know that there is a place like that. I keep hearing about Austin.
It's
People talk about Austin wanting a team.
It's probably getting close to that caliber of a city, big enough money there to be able to support an NFL football team. I would say that it's been a while since I've been there, right? But it's an awesome place for sure, and the city has exploded over the last two decades. It's gone to another level. You know, and so that would be a team. I mean, the city certainly, like, I know you said San Antonio yesterday and we didn't have time, but I was going to go, well, I think Austin would be before San Antonio. I was going to bring that up. I think it's, you know, got a little more of the what the NFL would be looking for. Certainly would be one of the places you'd go. If there was a new city that needed a team, Austin, I would think, would be in the running for that conversation. The Longhorns might not like it. The University of Texas might not like it. But the NFL, I'm sure, wouldn't mind getting down there in, you know, the Southwest Texas area and get a little of that piece of the pie there.
The Longhorns put 100,000 people in that stadium every game. I don't think it's going to hurt the Longhorns to have an NFL team in town. I think that it's two different universes. And if it keeps growing and growing, yes, that's what it's all about. It's about going where the people are. And as the country moves around and some cities diminish and others rise, that becomes an attractive destination for an NFL team. You know, the cities think that having the team makes them legitimate.
Right.
Well, the team is only going to pick cities that they think will legitimately support the franchise and generate the kind of money necessary, whether it's taxpayer money, PSLs, suites, luxury seats, tickets, everything. It ultimately is a business. And they don't want people to think that they view it as a business, but it is. Like everything else that involves the exchange of money with a desire to maximize profit, it is all a business. And we need to peel back that curtain and understand that. Otherwise, you're going to be surprised when a team decides to move. Why would they move? Because they think they're going to make more money somewhere else. That's it. They don't care about you, Jimmy. Sorry, there's another Jimmy out there waiting for that team to come to town. That's their new Jimmy. Old Jimmy, sorry, you didn't give us what we wanted. You didn't give us free money to build our stadium. We got another Jimmy out there that's going to be even more loyal to us because his politicians are giving us more money. That's all it is.
No, I know. I know. It is. It is all it is. You're right. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It is, again, I'm surprised. Mahomes, Kelce, they put their best foot forward, the Chiefs. They didn't even come close. We'll see where it goes. You know me. I want it to stay there. I like, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm a traditionalist there, but we'll see if they're bold or they try to flirt with another city here and put some pressure on Kansas City.
I think that the team strategy for trying to win this vote rubbed people the wrong way. I've heard anecdotal
things. Right.
That enlisting Mahomes and Kelce and Reed to do it rub people the wrong way.
Right.
The threat that all options are on the table. Does that include leaving Kansas City? Yes, it does. And it was Mark Donovan, not Clark Hunt, out there saying it. That rubbed people the wrong way. Everything about this, as evidenced by the fact that it so grossly failed, this is the morning that Clark Hunt fires everybody in the building that was associated with this project because you all failed.
Even Mahomes and Kelce and Reed, too? Damn.
Not them. I'm talking about the people that came up with the idea to use them.
I know.
I think all the way – I'm seriously, if I'm Mark Donovan, I ain't buying green bananas because I'm going to be moving soon potentially. I mean, somebody's got to be responsible for this failure. It's a massive failure, and it's a massive embarrassment for a proud franchise, other than the NFLPA grades, but a proud franchise that has these shiny new trophies and they can't leverage that into more than 41% of the Jackson County eligible voters saying, yes, we'll give you free money for a stadium. It is a massive embarrassment for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I suspect that the folks involved, and you know, they don't fire people like immediately. It's like, in a few months, there'll be some adjustment. There'll be a little footnote at the bottom of a story. But it's not – whoever has their fingerprints on this from a planning standpoint, Chris, I think is on the endangered species list as employees or consultants or whatever of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I wouldn't be shocked. You're right. Whoever they had as the consultant or whatever. I was always surprised that – you know, Mahomes, Kelce, Andy Reid were even willing to do it, and the team was willing to kind of put them out there to do that. I'm with you in that. I was kind of like, wow. I mean, you know, you're not – I understand. It's you're bordering on getting into politics and being political when you get into that type of stuff. And that's a line that, you know, most players –
you're trying to sway a vote.
Oh, yeah. They don't really want to
– it's
– it is. Right, right.
Overtly political.
Exactly. And usually
go to the ballot box and vote yes.
Right, right. So
– yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's all. I got nothing else to say
about
it,
makes,
but
hey,
that's it.
Hey, it makes them look like failures, too.
Yeah,
it makes,
I know.
It's a repudiation right. of their effort to come in and twist arms.
No doubt.
Like, hey,
no
we
doubt.
Love you, but there's a limit to how much we love you.
Right.
You think everybody in this town loves you?
Right.
Ah, there's some people that don't.
Right.
There's some people that don't. And there's some people that are a little bit upset about the way this was all done. Like you know, they want our money, and they're kind of acting like we're too dumb to see through this. I really do think that the entire presentation, the entire strategy to the average person today, even though there's a wealth gap, there isn't a common sense gap. And I think people know when they're being fed a line of crap. And I think it I know from what I hear from people that I know there and people who know people there, it just didn't rub people the right way. It rubbed people
the wrong way. I hear you. I hear you. I don't know. I see a lot of crap out there, though, and people believe in it, so I'm not sure about that comment. But everything else, I'm I agree with you, Kelce.
It is not a universal truth. It is not a universal truth
right.
in this day and age. We're going to take a break. Some more Chiefs-related news, unrelated to the failure, massive failure of their stadium vote effort when PFT Live continues right after this.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.